Hello, everybody. This is Barry Feeker, Executive Director of the Topeka Rescue Mission. You're listening to Our Community, Our Mission on September the 28th of 2021. Good morning, Marion Crable.
Good morning. Fall is here.
You know
right?
what? It's a little warm today.
Yeah, I know.
But I guess it's
like
coming.
It. I think
it's coming. It's coming.
Yeah.
Also, what else is coming that we're like scrambling is Christmas.
Christmas is coming very fast.
We're almost at October.
Yeah, we can't talk about that.
We normally plan for Christmas in July to get ready.
But how do you plan? How do you plan during COVID? Who knows what's going to happen before the end of the year?
Yeah, so we're coming up with plan A, plan B, plan C, plan D.
Exactly. I won't go farther than D.
Okay.
That's
all right. But we are going to have Christmas.
We are going to have, of course we are. All right. We can't avoid Christmas.
That's what we got to do here.
Absolutely.
We do. Well, Miriam, you and Lamanda Broyles, who is Director of Operational Ministry Services here at the Rescue Mission, something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
Both guys went to Baltimore.
We did.
On a little trip, and we want to talk extensively about what you guys learned out of that in that connection. But what did you go to Baltimore for?
You know, CityGate, our kind of parent organization that, you know, is the one that looks after all the missions around the nation, they had a conference. And so it was just basically mission staff from missions from all over the United States and Canada. We had folks there from Canada, too, just coming together to learn from each other, to, you know, in some ways just understand that we're all facing a lot of really challenging things, but mainly just to encourage each other and learn from each other and figure out how we move forward in some really difficult times.
What was that like being around? What was over 1,000 different
people
in rescue ministry from North America?
Yes, it was incredible. You know,
it was my first time there,
and it was encouraging and powerful and motivating. You know, but the Lord showed up. You know, you just know that we really are doing His work and that everyone feels that way. It wasn't about what we can do, but it was really about what the Lord leads us to do. And also the suffering that people are and the fact that we get to make a difference. Mm-hmm. We saw people from outside of the organization that were speaking to us and stuff. And I was so touched by how moved they were to be speaking to us, you know, because we just do our work. We, you know, come here day after day. People really look at this as something special that not everyone can do. And so they were so encouraging about the work that we do and the folks that we try to serve.
Pretty amazing to get around people from all different kinds of sizes of communities.
Yes.
And was you telling me about the director of the Los Angeles Rescue Mission?
Yes.
And what the price he's paid?
Oh my goodness, he's paid a significant physical price.
Yeah.
In that he lost his leg. So the CEO for the Los Angeles Mission downtown,
been there for many years.
Mm-hmm. And if you've all
Skid Row,
yes, if you've ever seen pictures, you know exactly what we're talking about because it is the epitome of what homelessness looks like in a big city with tents on the street. Well, he had been out doing outreach and unfortunately stepped in human feces, but thought he had taken care of everything. He also had some scratches because, you know, you're walking through brush and different kinds of things like that. So it's easy to get scratched. So he had some scratches, but, you know, showered and did all that and thought he was fine and ended up getting an infection in that leg. And 2 years later, they had to amputate because they just couldn't.
So he came to this conference in a wheelchair.
But the powerful thing, Barry, for me was he said, if it meant losing his other leg, he would still continue to do this because there are people that need him.
Yeah, his name is Andy Bales. He's been a pioneer in so much of what's gone on in Los Angeles.
Yes.
And they're on the front lines of Skid Row. Those are the kind of people that, you know, we look at and we go, how in the world did they do that?
Yeah.
And, but yet they're called. We're all called to do what we do.
Absolutely. Well, and I'm struck by something you had mentioned, in a conversation with him or with LA or with somebody that was talking to them because they were interested in what we do here, you know, and it was just almost impossible for them to even consider that because they have 10 people a day outside their shelter that they can't fit in, dying
on the street,
dying on the street every day.
Yeah.
And so that to me, that brings a different sense of urgency even than what we have.
Exactly.
Right? Because we're not seeing it through those eyes.
We have a variety of programs here that were noted nationally and they were saying, look at Topeka and what they're doing. And Andy said, I would love to do what Topeka's doing, but we're just trying to keep people alive.
Right.
We don't have the capacity to go beyond the basic of what we're doing because of what you just said. Mm-hmm. 10 people a day on an average are dying outside the rescue mission. Every single day, they're trying to get people in, and even Andy himself has paid a price.
Right, yeah. Right.
That's a war zone.
It's absolutely a war zone, and I think it just brings, it sheds a different kind of light on the work that all of us are doing and how important it is that we as a community address the unsheltered homeless in a variety of different ways, but really address the unsheltered homeless, because heaven forbid that would ever be the case here where things look like that level.
Right. Exactly.
And so we all have a responsibility, not just us here at TRM, but of our community to really take a look at this situation.
As I was out doing some outreach yesterday, I was thinking, Andy, in some different places we were going and just really trying to be careful.
Yeah.
Because we went in a variety of places and it wasn't always the most hygienic areas that we went into.
Well, I can't wait to hear more about your experience yesterday being on the street.
Yeah, it was. We'll talk more at some time and get Haley in here, who's been on the podcast before, and some things that we are seeing develop here in our community. And just the engagement with the people, you know, they're just so, with a few exceptions that weren't real happy to see us. We did get one situation where we were exited out of an abandoned building very quickly with a weapon in a hand. And so we complied.
That's a good idea.
We're out of here. And but, you know, most of the people were so grateful to see us and just, you know, and for myself, you know, it was very good to be able to get out of the administration aspect of what I do and get on the streets and to visit with people and you know, plan to do it some more.
Sure.
You know, some of the folks were saying, hey, you know, we know this is a mess around here where we live. Can you get us a dumpster? And said, yeah, I think maybe we can do that.
Yeah.
And so things like that.
Sure.
So there'll be more to come on that.
I can't wait to hear.
Yeah, so a lot of things are going on. Got the map deployment out today,
yes.
Mobile Access Partnership, and some just amazing things from another podcast.
Absolutely.
Coming up. Next week, we're going to have two young ladies who have just recently come back from Washington, D.C. on the podcast.
That'll be great.
And part of our staff here, we're invited to testify.
Yeah.
On behalf of Topeka Rescue Mission, what's going on here, and our Operation Food Secure program, and hunger and homelessness, and it's going to be powerful.
Yeah.
So Courtney and Marissa will be on next.
It'll be exciting.
Next week. And so you know, what we get a chance to do, and you know, we're out on the streets and we're feeding the hungry and we're part of this network of other rescue ministries and so forth, can never be done without incredible people that are supporting us.
Yeah.
And those are the people who maybe write a check. Those are our volunteers. And then there is this group of people that are in the trenches with us from experiential hands-on work, but also that oversight, and that's our board of directors.
Absolutely.
And so we are very grateful. I've said to a lot of people, we got the best board, and I mean that. Mm-hmm. Not just saying that, I mean that. I serve on boards, and we got the best board. And oftentimes I've used what we do in our board meetings to help other boards because of the commitment that our board members have made to the Topeka Rescue Mission. Today we are blessed to have one of our board members here who is our treasurer. And he's a professional accountant by trade, and he is one of these kind of guys that really knows his business and knows how to dive into the finances and evaluate and give us a clear picture, which was very important here a couple of years ago, however long that's been, to really look at our financial challenges and to help us navigate our way through all that experience and so forth. So, Mike Reinhart, welcome to our community, our mission.
Hey, good morning. Thank you.
Yeah, you betcha. Mike, talk to us about your professional experience with Evergy, and you recently retired.
Yes.
From Evergy, and then combine that with Topeka Rescue Mission and when you first got connected with TRM and how long you've been on the board.
Okay, very good. Yes, so I worked for Evergy and predecessor companies for 30-plus years. I started back in 1989, I guess.
KPNL?
It was KPL Gas Service back then, and quickly, in a couple years after that, became Western Resources when we merged with KG&E out of Wichita, and then we became Westar Energy when we went through some other changes, and then, three and a half years ago now, we merged with KCPL and became Evergy.
And thank you very much, because most of us, we just continue to flip on the light switch and we didn't notice the difference except for the letterhead when we paid the bill. Yeah,
absolutely. I've worked there. I was an accountant coming out of college. I actually worked in Wichita for Koch Industries for a year first, and came up here, had a great opportunity to come and work mm-hmm. for the company here.
What did you do with Evergy, or what was your position when you retired?
So when I retired, I was over, got to oversee the billing and credit and collections groups mm-hmm. for Evergy. I'd done the billing piece for almost 20 years at mm-hmm. that point, and credit I'd had for 10. I will tell you that when I was a kid, it probably wasn't exactly, I think what I want to do is oversee credit or billing for that matter, but it's where my career took me, and it was a great place for me to work. And recently retired in July. Opportunity to decide what I want to do, other things going forward, whether that's helping take care of grandkids or whatever. But
so if anybody knows Mike, they know he doesn't look retirement age.
No,
he looks very
not.
Young. And if you don't know that, he is a very young looking guy. So,
well, I'm figuring if he was there 30 years, he must have started at what, 15?
maybe five.
I appreciate that. In the credit area, as a utility, we serve everybody. You don't turn people down. That's what I loved working for the electric industry is part of that is it is a huge thing that we provide for people. You talked about flipping on the switch. That's what people expect. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you don't think about what it takes to get all that to happen. And working through credit, you realize there's a lot of people that can struggle to meet, mm-hmm. whether it's their electric bills or whatever else. And so we had a group within us that, in my overall group, that spent time helping folks like that. So that was always a
piece of that. So, Mike, you're in charge of billing and credit, and you've got to make the company work right. You mm-hmm. can't just be benevolent to everybody that comes along. How did you balance that? Because that's got to be tough.
Yeah, it is tough because you want to make sure, if I'm not paying my bill, if we're the three customers, eventually the two of you are going to end up mm-hmm. probably paying, mm-hmm. having to pay a little more for the bad debt that I incurred. But, we tried to balance it with payment plans that would hopefully work for individuals, some that would, sometimes it didn't. We'd go out and meet with them, had groups that would help try to hook them up with other resources within the community to help with bills and stuff. But it's a hard balance. I'm not going to tell you that it's not, but we tried to do our best. When we went through the pandemic a year and a half ago when it started, we stopped late charges on bills, mm-hmm. All that type of stuff to try to help. And we didn't shut people off for 4 or 5 months at least there for non-payment. And I know some people would probably look at that and go, well, why wasn't it longer than that? But at some point, you got to balance it.
The balance, that's the hard thing.
I've always was glad to work for a company that did its best to try to look out and balance customers' needs with the company's needs.
Have anything to do with your interest in TRM? Was that associated with that or something separate?
My interest in TRM developed. One of the things I also got to do back in the, 2007 timeframe was got to be a member of the Leadership Topeka Group. Mm-hmm. And so I can remember going through different things as we learned stuff about our community. And I knew a little bit about TRM, very little, I'll tell you that, because when I've got on the board, I've learned a lot about TRM that I never realized. But I can remember going through a tour of an area down there on South Kansas Avenue, kind of canty-cornered from where Blind Tiger sits, mm-hmm. and there was a bunch of trailers and stuff that it wasn't where people they went and it wasn't like normal trailers. It was where people just got in trailers, and I didn't realize we had those areas in our city. And I remember thinking at the time, my golly, I'm kind of blinded by how blessed I am and the people, my friends and that type of stuff. So that developed, and then Clark Johnson was on the board at the time. Mm-hmm.
Pastor of First Southern Baptist.
Exactly. So. I'm a member of First Southern Baptist. Mm-hmm. And Clark, we were getting, that was the time when the mission was getting involved with NetReach and was forming a board. So he asked if I was interested in coming on. And so I came on at NetReach board for a little bit. And then a year and a half later, with some things changing, Clark and the rest of you asked if I was interested in serving on the board of Topeka Rescue Mission. But, you know, the other thing, I guess, that I think about with the mission and stuff is I'm adopted. So, and I don't know if you remember this, but in my interview, when you were looking at me to be on the board, I can remember this, and it's the thing that I continue to think about, that how blessed I've been by God, because I have no idea about my birth parents, and I am very grateful that whoever my birth parents were, that they put me up for adoption, because obviously they felt like that they couldn't handle. And, but it's with God's blessings that, it could have been me that's in a rescue mission. Right. And, so that was one of the things that, another thing that kind of pushed me, to want to serve with the
rescue mission. I think sometimes, you know, until we see what you saw in those trailers, and or at least somebody points something out to us, we take things for granted, until we learn more about things. And you know, that, yeah, you're right. You could end up in a different role here. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we're all, who knows, we're all, through circumstances or whatever our life takes us. If we don't have family or we don't have the support groups, we could all end up
in, absolutely.
And that, and folks need our help. And, I just didn't always realize what all help they needed. And so I've learned a lot in the last 7 years. So I've been on the mission now, or on the board for almost 7 years. I think it was 2014, November of 2014. So seven years here in a month. So,
so Mike, what have you learned? I mean, from when you first came into the mission, you talked about there were a lot of things you didn't know. What is it that maybe has impressed you the most as far as you didn't know?
Well, you know, when I look back and, you know, I thought it was solely about providing a place for someone to sleep at night and some food. Mm-hmm. And that is a big piece of it. That is a big piece of it. But we have so many other things that have been, it's the education pieces that we try to help people then get back out on the streets. So the other thing involved with that my wife was stayed more involved with it than I did. I did it with her for a couple of years as we did the mentoring. Mm-hmm. And you know, the helping educate and provide stuff to get the folks that do have to spend some time at the mission to allow them to get back into their own you know, independence, I guess.
If there's ever a way to learn about ourselves, mm-hmm. Let alone the homeless, it's to mentor. Yeah. Because it really stretches us as individuals. You know, there was two ladies yesterday who were homeless that I was visiting with, and the desperation in their lives. I mean, they've become very hardened. You can just see it. Just rough women. But as we spent some time talking with them, just to begin to unfold, this one lady has got abscess tooth, and she's extreme pain. Mm-hmm. She's got colon cancer. She is experiencing some other physical difficulties. And as we got to talking with both of these ladies, you know, they said, we're tired. We're just so tired. And as we talked about maybe some things that we could do to help them on the short run, they said, you know, we're really ready to leave hell and go to heaven. They both said that. And so I basically, you know, just got to work with them because they're right where they are. They're drug addicted and they're they're rough and they're tired and they're worn out and who knows what all has happened in their lives. Why are they there and not where we are? You know, college degrees and professions and opportunities we've had. We don't know the answer to that. But there was just a common bond around God in this conversation with them yesterday. And so anyway, they were the ones that said, hey, you know, can you get us a dumpster and we'll help clean this place up down here? And I said, okay, who's going to be the marshal down here? And they said, we'll be the marshals. Yep. And so I said, raise your right hand. And one gal, she goes, which was my right? And she was going, I said, raise both your hands. And they go, okay, praise God. And raising their hands. And this one lady said, you know, I'm really ready for this to be over. I'm really ready to go see Jesus. You know, we oftentimes think, well, these people don't know Jesus. They don't know God. You know, how in the world could they be in that situation and know God? But we had a great conversation about just who we are all together. And so some of us have been given the tools to go do something, and others have been on the receiving end. But yet God's put us all together, mm-hmm. put us all together. Mike, you as treasurer of Topeka Rescue Mission Board, you work with Miriam a lot here.
Absolutely.
And I know you appreciate him.
Oh, my goodness. I cut checks. He signs them. He and I spend money well together.
So there's a lot of trust that goes into people wanting to help the rescue mission. Talk about that aspect of yourself and what do you know about Topeka Rescue Mission and its ability to be trusted and its integrity, and what do you do to try to make sure that happens?
Sure. Maybe the first thing I would say is that you are kind of continued on what you ask about what I had learned about Topeka Rescue Mission. And I don't know if it's necessarily about Topeka Rescue Mission, but it's about the Topeka community and how well they support the Topeka Rescue mm-hmm. Mission financially. We've had some tough times, but we've also been very blessed with
Amen.
Donations and just to help there. But, you know, so that is very important, like you said. So the people that are donating, they expect us to utilize our funds in the best way possible. And I can tell you that from looking at this, we have good controls in place to make sure, you know, like Miriam said, she cuts checks. We got folks that oversee, make sure that everything we're paying is correct, mm-hmm. And that, and then I sign them and look at that documentation, that type of stuff. But it is the thing that I've learned about working here at the mission. Working with the people here at the mission is there's a lot of good staff with great compassion, and they also are very diligent in spending the resources in the manner, mm-hmm. best manner they can. I think back to my mom, and I always said my mom could stretch a dollar like no one's business.
So that's where you got that from.
And she was very good at managing the funds of the family. That wasn't always tons, but we had plenty. Mm-hmm. I didn't, mm-hmm. but I see those same things going on here at the mission and people. So we also have our books audited every year. Mm-hmm. I think everybody knows that, mm-hmm. Or if they don't, that's an important thing. And so, I think we have the proper things in place to make sure everything's
good. Well, knowing your position with Evergy and all those other before names that you worked with in as many years as you did and as responsible as you are, I don't think you'd want to be a treasurer of an organization that did anything less than corporate level accounting.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. We appreciate that. Mike, describe for our listeners the board of directors.
Well, it's a very good group that I've learned a lot from. So we have a group of seven, I think, right now. We've had some folks that have left the board, LaManda, to become a full-time employee here at the mission. But it's made up of some different folks from different churches and different walks of life, whether different careers, all very, very thoughtful individuals, in my opinion, with our president, who's very outgoing, and he's had a ton of different experiences. And I know you've had a podcast with him, and people have heard, hopefully had the opportunity to hear some of the stuff he's been involved with, but some great experiences and a great man of God. And that's the thing that I see about the rest of the mission. We got a judge, we got a school administrator, we got real estate folks. Mm-hmm.
Medical tech.
Yeah, medical tech. I mean, it's all realms with all very great hearts for the Lord, and I believe, and for the people, to try to help people at Topeka Rescue Mission and in our community.
I think there's there's regardless of experience, background, how people look at the issue of homelessness, there's a common denominator on our board. And that's Jesus. Mm-hmm. And that everybody acknowledges that's why we're here, is to share that good news that God's called us.
You know, but one thing, too, that I think it would be good for folks to know is that we do not have a board that just agrees with each other.
Right.
They're not all thinking the same all the time. They're not a rubber stamp board. Mm-hmm. They're willing to like have tough conversations and dig deep to come to consensus, mm-hmm. right? Jesus is always in the middle, and that, I think, is what keeps them all together. Mm-hmm. But I'm always so impressed that they don't feel like they always have to agree before they come to a decision, mm-hmm. that they can really debate and bring their opinions forward. And I think that's a real sign of a strong board, when they can bring all of their opinions to the table to come up with the thing that they think is best for what we're trying to accomplish. And I think that's amazing.
I think it's extremely important, and Mike, you're one of those that questions things in a very positive way.
Oh,
by the way,
thank you. Hopefully, <so.
laughs> but because you do, and the way you've done it, people respect what you say. Yeah. And when Mike Reinhardt says, "Wait a minute," everybody waits a minute, and
it's
sometimes
sort of like
it's a wait a minute that lasts for a month or two before we decide something.
Sure.
But I appreciate that. I've served on some groups, boards, or other groups that people are afraid to disagree with the power that's moving through. I don't want to mention anything here, but there's been some major decisions that have been made in the city based upon the popular opinion, not on what's logic. Mm-hmm. And we paid the price for it as a community on those kind of things. And this board doesn't just roll with it.
Right.
You know, yeah, I may come along, and Miriam, you may come along very passionate about a certain subject matter, but this board just doesn't rubber stamp it. Which is good.
Absolutely.
They're supportive, very supportive,
right.
You know, but this board requires that when we come, we're as prepared as possible to be able to give a reason for making the decision that we're going to need to suggest that we make. And a lot of times those are big financial decisions. Yeah,
absolutely.
and program adjustments and those kind of things. And so, Mike, we really appreciate that about your professionalism, but also the way you approach things and respect that you have earned with this board of directors, they're like you. They're all very professional. They're very compassionate. They're very determined, very called, but are very unique in the way they look at things.
Yeah. And I think it's very good points. And, you know, the other thing that I see with the board that's different on this board compared to other boards I've been in, and we've talked about it a little bit, but very prayerful.
Mm-hmm.
We have devotions at the start of our board meetings, and I'm not saying other boards don't do that. I haven't been on a board that's done that before, mm-hmm. but there may be other ones that do it as well. But so, yes, we all have different opinions. We're also trying to all figure out where God is leading us as a Topeka Rescue Mission.
Mike, I'm sure that you've learned in one way or another the risk that this ministry takes. This is not a safe thing to do, and I don't mean just from a physical standpoint, but just from, we just never know what's coming our way. As a board member, how do you look at that risk to be looking at, it's kind of like maybe when at Evergy you were trying to balance between life and death for some people in regards to collections and billing. And we're in that cutting edge of never knowing when the next big thing is going to hit. How do you look at that as a board member, making decisions that at any moment something catastrophic could happen in an individual's life that we work with, or maybe a group of people. Yeah. A lot of people don't want to serve on a board like this. Mm-hmm. Too risky.
Yeah, it's always in the back of your mind, as things that can go wrong. I just try to, at least individually, as we talk about whether it's new programs or whatever, is that even though the rescue mission, like I mentioned, does so much more than what I realized, mm-hmm. what I don't want us personally to ever do is put us in jeopardy to where we can't serve the basic mm-hmm. needs of the folks that we do serve. And so it's, getting the best information you can from you and from Miriam and whoever, and just thinking about where we can, where other areas of the city might be able to help out the Topeka Rescue Mission and vice versa. But you guys do a great job of that for us and laying that out for the board members. But it's always there. And, I think serving on the board is, it's a blessing for me, and it's I believe it's a blessing for the rest because we've learned so much from working with each of you, and it's just compassion. And sometimes the things that we do, I will tell you, if it was just me doing them, I probably wouldn't have done them because I wouldn't have stepped out quite that much. There's a big vision with folks here with God's help that I wouldn't have done. And some of that stuff is risky, but it doesn't all work out, though a lot of it mm-hmm. does.
It doesn't all work out. That's right. That's
so
right.
It's like anything. It's a balance. But
Mike, has there been, I assume the answer is yes, but can you describe, like all of us, how you've grown in the Lord since you've been in this ministry?
I think it is amazing for me to see. I guess it helps me grow to see things like individuals that we've talked about, that you've had in your newsletter, in the TRM newsletters, that for years could not, lived on the streets mm-hmm. and maybe been at the mission and come back. And I don't always, sometimes I used to think, well, miracles don't happen anymore. Well, I don't always see the miracle, didn't always see the miracles, and now I'm able to see some of those miracles happen. They may not be the miracles that some people necessarily think of. It can take years for miracles mm-hmm. to happen sometimes. Mm-hmm. And it is, it's going out, and it's hard for me as an individual. God, built me in one that I have to, I guess I should have been born in Missouri, the show me state. I have to be shown instead of Kansas. But
hey, Jesus is cool with Thomases. That's okay,
I've grown from there to be able to rely on what God is telling us, even more so than I had before I was on the board, and being able to step out and take some those risks that we talked about earlier that I probably wouldn't have 10 years ago.
I think probably isn't it kind of an occupational hazard of accountants to take too much of a risk outside the numbers?
it's not necessarily something we're kind of risk averse. So.
For good reasons. Good reasons, getting that balance. And I think one of the most exciting things in my time here at the Rescue Mission is to see the hand of God in impossible situations. And we look at the situation, and there's no way around it. There's just nothing that we can physically see, whether it be the finances or just the practicality of the people or the resources, the equipment. And then to see God go, let me show you something.
Yeah.
just like this whole thing with Mobile Access Partnership mm-hmm. and how that thing came together in a lightning speed with the resources to be able to do it. And it's just And the lives that are being touched in such a short amount of time,
right?
It's just amazing. And we can't even begin to know where this is going in regards to the engagement opportunity that we're having with people. We had a record number of people
last week
come that And dogs now, you know, and this will be more of a program later, but Street Dog Coalition coming out there, working with the pets and the cats. And we had just a little bit of crowd control with animals who were homeless animals that were coming. And the volunteer of Dr. Crow, Allison Crow, who's working out there with her assistants to, you know, met three little dogs yesterday that were sick. And I said, I think we've got somebody can help you with that. And the owners who were homeless were just like, really? I said, yeah. Think we can do that. That's just that whole thing of how do we do this? Well, God touches people's hearts and and brings along the miracles that are God's timing and in his way.
A couple other things I just wanted to talk about related to mentoring. And, you know, I grew up with a, like I said, a mom and a dad that that provided us with both my sister and I with the ability, you know, we pull our own stuff up our bootstraps. And so I used to, and I still think that you got to do stuff for yourself. That's how you help make things happen. But I didn't always realize until I started working with the mission and doing the mentoring that helped. You know, sometimes I think people go, well, why don't people just go get a job? And it's not that hard to go get a job and that type of stuff. And yes, you can get jobs, but things that we don't think about, or at least I didn't think about. I can remember mentoring and folks had individuals had the opportunity to get a job, but without transportation, you know, okay, the buses ran to a certain time of the day, but they couldn't get, so it was either, well, I'm going to have to walk a lot of miles. And you see stories about that where people do have walked for many years, you know, getting up at 2 a.m. so they can be at work at 6 a.m. because they got to walk to work. And it's just there's a lot of things that homelessness brings on that I don't think everybody realizes till they work with them, and how tough it is sometimes to get back out there. And again, that comes with working with those folks and just the compassion that I mentioned earlier, that everyone that I see that works here at the mission, their willingness to help people and try to figure out how to make stuff like that happen.
Not enable people that can actually pull their bootstraps up.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, that person, we've met a number of people like you're talking about who walk miles to go to work. And sometimes walking in the middle of the night to do it, and not necessarily safe neighborhoods because they have the ability. And then there's another person that's very much in the similar boat, but problem is that they got feet problems and they can't walk or they've got a broken back or whatever the case might be. And then we go, well, okay, that one can. This one doesn't have the right ability to do that. And just know who can we push and who do we need to carry?
Yeah, exactly.
It's hard.
Yeah, it is.
And complicated, right? It's not as easy as it looks.
Right.
You know, if only it was as easy as get a job, get an apartment, life would be great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But there's just so much behind it, just like you said. And I think that realization would be a powerful learning for everyone to have.
Yeah. Well, you're a very accomplished man, and God sent you here to share your accomplished expertise, but also, like me, like Miriam, like all of us, to learn some things too.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah, about his heart.
Absolutely.
Well, Mike, we just appreciate you so much and your investment in TRM with your board position here. Is there anything before we close today that you would like for people to know?
About Topeka Rescue Mission or, I mean,
Afghanistan,
So, you know, I don't know. You know, I was thinking as we were talking about the board membership and everything. What I don't know if it's something that people need to know, but what I think we need in our world now is that we've become so divided, whether it's political parties or whatever. And I know a lot of that's gone on for a long time, but it seems worse now.
It is worse
to me. But we all need to realize that in many cases we have a lot more things that we have similar than we do different, and that it's a matter of you know, putting others ahead of ourselves sometimes. And sometimes I think we've become, this prideful, talk about pulling up the bootstraps. So that's all good, but y'all have to balance all that.
Right.
And it is just the ability to, as we, does anybody want people to be homeless? Absolutely not.
No.
I can't imagine there's anybody. Oh, yeah, I'm fine with them being homeless. Mm-hmm. I don't think that. But we need to come together as much as we can. We need to find our common ground more than mm-hmm. we need to find the things that we don't.
Well,
we're not all going to always agree, kind of like we've mentioned on the board, but you come to a consensus, and we need to continue to move forward as a city, as a state, and as a country to find the things that that we can come together on and help folks and quit hopefully being quite as divisive as we currently are.
I think we all feel that, and sometimes we just got to say it over and over and over again. Let's come together on the things that we can agree on, and let's do those well. Mm-hmm. And I think that we're seeing some of that happen here locally, and hopefully it would spread beyond the whole idea of the partnership and reaching out to the homeless right now is a new thing, in a not a brand new thing, but in a better way than we've done it before, and we've got a longer way to go. But I think that we have to model it here, and Mike, you are one of those, along with other board members and staff here, that are modeling that when we're dealing with complex situations and saying, what can we do prayerfully before the Lord and say, Lord, show us the way through this. Well, Mike, thank you for being here today on Our Community, Our Mission. Thank you for your service here, and just thank you for just the integrity that you bring to Topeka Rescue Mission and helping us make sure that we can say to our donors and people who look at us that this is a safe place that you can contribute and that you can serve. And so thank you for being here.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you for listening to Our Community, Our Mission. If you would like more information on Topeka Rescue Mission, you can go to trmonline.org. That's trmonline.org. If you'd like to help financially to support Topeka Rescue Mission, you can press the Give Now button. If you would like to text to give, you can text TRMGIVE to 77977. Text TRMGIVE to 77977. Thank you for being a part of our community. Thank you for being a part of Topeka Rescue Mission. Thank you for listening to Our Community, Our Mission.